coming up on the Tacoma podcast.
And I think the big thing for it, in respect to all the kids coming out this year, the high school level, is that, I mean, Washington's got four. They got four high school McDonald's All-Americans this year. And that's crazy. I mean, and you think of all the great caliber players they've had come out of Washington, Seattle, and across the state the last, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years. To have four kids come from one area to be McDonald's All-Americans, so you're saying that they're four of the best 24 kids in the country are from the Pacific Northwest. That's amazing.
Tacoma, what's good? Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Derek Shockman. On the Tacoma podcast, we have dope conversations with the people of the City of Destiny. We have episodes with small biz owners, athletes, creators, performers, politicians, and neighbors. If you're down with Tacoma, tune in and let's get inspired. Let's go. So how was your guys' trip to the Grand Canyon, man?
Oh, man, it was awesome. I had never been to the Grand Canyon before. And so me and my wife, we had never been there. The kids obviously wanted to go. So for spring break, we were like, you know, we've been locked in the house for so long, haven't taken a vacation. Let's just pack up. We're going to go to Arizona. 3.5-hour, 4-hour drive. Went over there, got a VRBO, went to the Grand Canyon, saw the amazing views, which is mind-blowing. Can't believe it's actually that deep and that wide. And then we went to Barrizona, this place called Barrizona. It's a wildlife drive-through park. And so, like, reindeer come up to your car. There's bison, there's bears. So the kids enjoyed it. We enjoyed it. So it was nice to get out of the desert and go to Flagstaff for a little bit and have some fun.
Definitely, man. You were speaking about those animals coming up to the car. Were the kids, like, freaked out at all? Because I know I would have been, man, with those big-ass animals.
Right. No, the kids, not so much. More so me. So there's this huge reindeer that just walked up right by the driver's side. And I was like, oh, God, he's going to try to bite me. But no, it was super cool. The kids really enjoyed it. And it's not something that you expect to be able to do, like just to drive through and like this wildlife area. And there's bears that come up to you, bison. There was jaguars, all kinds of stuff. So it was crazy.
That's nuts, man. That's nuts. So you were in town, though, to be able to catch that championship game last night, huh?
Gonzaga. Of course. Definitely watched it. I was obviously riding with Gonzaga, like most people from back home were, just because growing up, we used to see Casey Calvary and all those guys. Yeah. Blake Stepp and Dan Dickow. But disappointed that they didn't pull it out. But I think that they got blitzed. I think Baylor came out of the gate smoking, knocked down 5 of 5 from 3 to start it. And I think from there, and it was just, avalanche snowball effect, and they just couldn't quite get back over that hump, even though they cut it to 9 about halfway through the second half. Just too many athletic strong guards for Baylor. But I think Saturday's game was amazing, though. The game against UCLA was definitely the game of the weekend.
Hell yeah, man. That was nuts. Yeah, I was looking at Baylor as, and maybe it was just because of me, but I thought Gonzaga was going to take them. But I was, like, looking at it, and I think Baylor was not the only people that think they were going to win, but, like, they knew they were going to win that game. Like, you could just tell the way they came out, man. It was like they were ready.
Yeah, I mean, and rightfully so. They had a great season. Obviously, I think they were getting compared to Gonzaga the whole season. But they just got hot, man. You couldn't stop their guards, and they're guard heavy. And obviously, you got to have guards to be successful in basketball. But they blitzed them. I mean, they came out of the gates, hit 3 after 3 after 3, got stops. And I think from there, it was just a confidence thing, and they were riding high.
For sure. It's funny, though, that you said you were rooting for Gonzaga. So, man, I'll be honest. I was going for Baylor, and the reason I'm going for Baylor, I was a Husky, and you know who was playing for Gonzaga when I was there was Adam Morrison. And Adam Morrison drove me nuts for a lot of different reasons. But did you play against Adam when you were at UNLV?
No, we didn't play Gonzaga. Obviously played against Adam growing up, like AAU stuff. But no, I mean, obviously respected him. He was a killer when he was at Meade High School. I know I used to go watch them in the Tacoma Dome, right? When we were in high school, we never got to play in the Tacoma Dome, unfortunately. But we definitely went to go watch those guys. And Adam Morrison's a killer. I know he does the color commentary for the radio broadcast for Gonzaga now. So I was able to hear his call of when Jalen Suggs hit the half court shot. And so he was clearly pumped. So obviously that's good for them. But I wish we could have some of their success down here at UNLV, but not quite.
For sure, man. Before we get too far along, though, Kurt, I'm going to have you introduce yourself. You want to introduce yourself to the people?
Yeah, Curtis Terry, born and raised in Tacoma, Washington. Went to Curtis High School, played college basketball at UNLV, the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. I currently live down here in Vegas with my wife, Brittany, our two kids, Miles and Preston. By day, I fundraise. I'm in schools helping kids in athletic programs raise funds to travel for uniforms equipment. And by night, I moonlight on the radio, calling UNLV basketball games on ESPN Radio here in Las Vegas, and also do a couple weekly segments on ESPN Radio as well.
That's dope, man. We're going to get into your radio career and also Snapwise, too, here in a little bit. How's it like living in Vegas, man? You've been down there pretty much since you graduated, huh?
Yeah, man, I came down here in 2004. So August 2004 is when I came down here. And aside from like 2 years, I've been here for like 15 of the last 17 years. I love it. It's Vegas. To me, it's normal. It's natural. Other people are like, how do you live there? It's so crazy. It's the Strip. And I relate it to like back home. It's like, how often do people really go to Belltown, like, or downtown Seattle? Not really, unless there's people in town or you got family visiting, going to dinner. But for me, I love it here. It's great weather, obviously. I think it's going to be 75 here today. It was 85 yesterday. So the weather's great. It's still close to home. Everybody comes to visit, so we don't have to make much of an effort to go see people. But I love Vegas. It's been home for me ever since leaving UP and Tacoma way back in 2004. And so I will probably be here for the foreseeable future, barring any huge job changes.
Cool. Yeah, no, I'm really curious about what it's like to live there and like the weather, right? So is the weather, what's it like in the winter there? Because I'll be totally transparent. I look on Redfin all the time at Vegas places, some of the suburbs, just because it's fun for me. But also, like, I would like to one day have a second home there, to be honest. And so, yeah, I was just curious about the weather, like in the December, January-ish. What's up?
It's nice. I mean, in December, it gets a little cold because it's the desert. The weather can definitely get chilly, get cold at night. I mean, but we're talking like lows of like 38 maybe. So it doesn't get too crazy. It snows sporadically, like more closer to the foothills, like up in the mountains. It snowed this past January. Not too much as you get closer to the Strip, but it's still bearable. I mean, but then you're talking about during the days, you're getting like 50 degrees, but clear sunny skies. So it's nice.
Exactly.
As opposed to like the rain back home. That's the one thing I definitely, at times when we miss it. So like in the summer here, it's way too hot. It's like you're in an oven. It's the dry heat. You're talking like 115. It's just crazy. And so aside from that, that's when we miss being back home and getting the rain and the cloudy skies every once in a while. So every once in a while, we kind of feel like we're a little dehydrated just because it's so dry out here.
For sure. I think that's what I would like. I don't need it to be like 90 in the, you know, wintertime. Just like sunny, man, it's kind of nice, you know, get out of the rain a little bit. So.
Yeah, no, it feels good. It's nice to be able to start your day and you wake up and it's blue skies outside and it's sunny. You're like, oh, I've got a little bit more pep in my step. I'm going to get going today. Because I know definitely when we were growing up, like in high school, that wasn't the case. You get up on a Tuesday morning in December, you're like, God, it's just dark. So I hated it.
Yeah, for sure, man. It definitely impacts the mood a little bit, right? But it's funny, though, too, because I like the winter. In the sense of like, it's easier to just get shit done and grind and kind of, you know, because there's nothing else to really do. So it's just dark out. So it's like you can just get shit done. Do you miss Tacoma though?
Yeah, man. I mean, yes. Because obviously, I mean, my mom now lives in like North Seattle, like Richmond Beach. And so from that standpoint, my sister still lives and they live in Queen Anne. So when we go home, which is not very often, obviously, because of COVID, but we usually go home like twice a year, usually during the holidays and then like once in the summer. But honestly, I couldn't tell you the last time I've been to Tacoma just because everybody's kind of like migrated out of Tacoma. At least my family has. And so like every once in a while, I'll go back and I still obviously get in touch with David Franklin a lot. David comes down here to hang out. I go back home and see him. But not, I don't get back to Tacoma very often. But that's because there's so many people come to Vegas. We don't have to make the effort to go home to see people. So that's kind of nice. But no, I definitely miss Tacoma. Born and raised there. I've got it tatted on my arm. Because again, there's no place like home regardless. I mean, that's where we grew up, run the streets of Tacoma. So yeah, I miss it, but I don't miss the weather.
Got it. You know, it's funny you said David Franklin. I ran into him and his dad like, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, actually.
Right.
Just over in West End, Tacoma. So, yeah, good people, man. And they were going on some trip or maybe he came back from a trip. I don't remember where, but yeah, for sure. Do you think you're going to ever move back to Tacoma?
No, I don't think so. I think, no.
What about the Northwest in general?
No, I think the only way it would happen is... Yep. If there was some association to the Blazers or the Sonics got a team back in Seattle, like that's the only way we'd make it back home. Our kids love it down here. I mean, they're just my son. Obviously, he was born in Enumclaw back home, but he's lived here since he was two. My daughter was born here, so she's lived here for 5 years. So we're very ingrained in the community. Obviously, I'm ingrained with that UNLV with what I do here. So we make our trips to go home and to visit as much as we can. But I don't think we'll see ourselves moving back. Even though if we did, We would love to live like most people want to. You want to live on the water, like on Lake Union or Lake Washington, totally. Have something nice. But then again, and you know, being in the real estate industry, prices are crazy. So that's another reason it probably won't happen.
Yep. But Vegas is hot too, man. You know, what part of Vegas do you guys live in? Do you live like in the suburbs somewhere?
Yeah, so we're southwest, so we're considered Mountain's Edge. So we're southwest of the Strip, and it's kind of I mean, I guess it would be like the newer area. So like when I went to college here, Henderson, in Green Valley was kind of like the happening area, kind of like southeast of the Strip a little bit. And since then, 2004, things have just boomed and moved west towards the mountains. And so we're southwest now, but I consider everything in Vegas like 30 minutes away, so I can literally get across town in about 30 minutes, give or take traffic. But I think we're like 15 minutes to the airport. I'd say Mandalay Bay is probably 15 minutes. But like if you go like to downtown, like Fremont, we're probably 25-30. Just again, depending on traffic. But we're close enough to be close, but far away to stay away from the craziness.
For sure. So what's it like with the, you know, the Raiders are there now. How's that impacting Vegas? And what's that looking like? Because I think that that's pretty sick they have an NFL team now.
Yeah, it's awesome. And obviously, I'm a big Seahawks fan, so I can't stand the Raiders like everybody else from the old AFC West days. But it's fun because now they've got the Raiders in town. They've got the Las Vegas Aces. They've got the Las Vegas Golden Knights. And there's been talk of maybe getting an MLB team. I think the Aces, as well as the All-Star game, NBA All-Star game back in 2008 or 7, I think that was a test run for an NBA team. So I think they'll eventually get an NBA team if they expand. I think Seattle and Vegas will be the ones that get it. So it's professional sports are huge now here, because before that it was just UNLV basketball, which was nice. But now it's more of a sports town, even more so because of the professional sports. They've got brand new facilities in Raider Stadium or Allegiant Stadium. Obviously, T-Mobile Arena is huge, and it's amazing the events that they hold there. So I think it's really added another dynamic to life here in Las Vegas, aside from just the college sports. But now we got professional sports. But I'm still not a Raiders fan, although my two cousins just got hired from the San Diego Chargers to be on the Raiders defensive coaching staff. So I'm a pseudo fan now, you know what I mean? By loyalty, but it still comes down to it. I'm still a Seahawks diehard.
That's legit. Hey, random question though. Didn't your wife do like the signage or something for the Raider Stadium?
Yeah, she did. So my wife Brittany, she played college basketball at Eastern Washington, and so all we do is watch sports and talk hoops. But she works for a signage company in town, and so she did the interior signage for the whole Allegiant Stadium. And so for all the Raider Stadium, they did all the interior signage for the AAA baseball stadium out here. They did all the signage out there. So some of the perks that we do get from her side of things is we do get access to go to those facilities, get some tickets and things like that. But so she's been able to see the new Allegiant Stadium from you mean dirt to completion in terms of being there and being on site. And I haven't been there yet just because of COVID. They weren't letting fans in, but she says that it's an amazing facility. It's a great stadium. And so we're definitely looking forward to going to check out not just the Raiders, but also some UNLV football, hopefully soon.
Cool. Yeah, I think Vegas, you know, you mentioned it with the Sonics and them potentially getting an NBA team. I think those are the two cities they're talking about. And there's been a lot of chatter recently about, you know, COVID impacting everything, right? The NBA included, and maybe getting some of that influx of cash with like, what do they call it? The new franchise fee. There's something, expansion fee or whatnot.
Right.
And I think those two places, it'd be super dope. Well, obviously, I want the Sonics back, but I mean, like, Vegas would be a good place to have an NBA team.
Yeah, no, I think it's there. I mean, there's a lot of talk. They say like Kansas City, they say like Louisville. I mean, I just don't see it. I think they're not great sports towns. Obviously, they got the Chiefs, they got the Royals in Kansas City, Louisville. It's college town. The Kentucky Derby and all that stuff. But I think just naturally, I think Seattle is obviously going to be the first team. I think just even bias aside, I think they're going to be the first team in terms of just the support for professional sports there in the community. And you see professional athletes say that they miss having that franchise there. And I think Vegas just. For what they proved with the Aces, with the Golden Knights success, and with the Raiders moving here, the stigma around like sports and gambling has obviously, you know, I mean, shrunk to almost non-existent. And I think that's the biggest thing that was holding people back. But now that, I mean, that there's MGM that's sponsoring different pro sports teams, and all these different partnerships going on, and so that stigma's gone. So I definitely think Vegas and Seattle will be the cities that get expansion teams when it happens. But then I think, and I was talking to a friend about this the other day, I think when it happens, I think they're going to realign the NBA divisions. I think that you'll see some shifting and maybe see like New Orleans or Memphis move to the Eastern Conference and realign some things like that, kind of similar to like what they have right now in the NFL with their divisions.
For sure, for sure. Is Vegas? Do you think Vegas is a hoop city more than anything, or is it like a football town, or like what do you think?
Basketball. And I think that just goes back to the days of Larry Johnson, Greg Anthony, Stacey Augmon, the UNLV teams from Jerry Tarkanian, the Shark. I mean, what they did in terms of college basketball, and there was a lot of talk about it recently with Gonzaga. Are they going to go undefeated? And UNLV had that run back in '91 when they almost went undefeated. They lost in the national semifinal to Duke, but it's a basketball town at heart, deep. And then on top of that, you've got all the AAU basketball tournaments that are here in the summertime. So it's huge in terms of with grassroots basketball. And then on top of that, USA Basketball, they hold their training camp here every summer. Obviously not last summer because of COVID, but their training camp preparation for the Olympics or any international competition is here at UNLV. And so it's always basketball. And then you add in the NBA Summer League. So it's literally basketball, which is a good thing. But I think football is starting to come along. But I mean, heck, as of like 3 years ago, now it's a hockey town just because the Golden Knights had success. They go to the Stanley Cup in their first year. But I mean, I think at the core of it, to the root, I think it's going to be basketball here in Vegas for the foreseeable future.
That's dope. Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to all this because I love going to Vegas, but like as I get older, you know, I'm not going to clubs much anymore. Right. So I'm looking for some other activities, and I think like going down to see like the Seahawks play, the Raiders would be dope, and if we get an NBA team going down there, it's just going to be fun. I know they had the Pac-12 tournament there for a minute too, so yeah, great place to just enjoy some games, you know. So speaking of like basketball in Seattle and Tacoma, you know, I saw something the other day. I think we're like the Mecca. They're considering us the Mecca of basketball, right? What's your take on that, man? Like, what do you think? Because, like, I think we're a basketball town, even though, like, obviously everybody loves the Seahawks, but we don't have a damn NBA team anymore. So I'm just curious to get your thoughts, man. Yeah.
No, I think that's, I mean, that's high praise. I think that was the McDonald's All-American game that kind of put out that promotion of, like, Seattle's or Washington's now the Mecca of basketball. I think that's amazing because it used to be New York, right? Or the East Coast. Yeah. That's where basketball players come from. And I think the big thing for it, in respect to all the kids coming out this year, the high school level, is that, I mean, Washington's got four high school McDonald's All-Americans this year. And that's crazy. I mean, and you think of all the great caliber players they've had come out of Washington, Seattle, and across the state the last, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years, to have four kids come from one area to be McDonald's All-Americans. So you're saying that they're four of the best 24 kids in the country are from the Pacific Northwest. That's amazing.
For sure.
And I think that just goes to the fact of how they've kind of just bred the basketball culture up there. And obviously, I think it starts with like Doug Christie, obviously my brother Jet, Jamal Crawford, Brandon Roy, Nate Robinson, Isaiah Thomas, all those guys. I think that's what's cool about it. And for me to not be there, but to still kind of be in touch with those guys, especially IT, we talk all the time, and to see how they are trying to help the next kids coming up, like to help the next generation, whether it's get to college, whether it's so they can play or get their academics, or if it's they want to play professionally in the NBA or overseas. I think it's the true community sense that we see like in Tacoma, but just in the Northwest, of guys trying to help the next kid up to get those opportunities, because everybody knows nobody can make it anywhere on their own. So I think it's really cool. But I mean, the Mecca, now we've got to continue to back it up if we're going to have people calling us the Mecca of basketball now.
For sure. You know, it's cool though that you talk about that, like, you know, IT obviously coming out, helping the youth. And I know that that's been passed on, like Jamal Crawford's done that and whatnot. And I just remember at UW, even like in the summers, man, that you know, Heck Ed, for example, it would be packed with NBA guys up in there, like all hooping with the college kids, even high schoolers. And so I don't know if you get that everywhere, but I know that I've seen that firsthand, and that's pretty dope.
Yeah, you don't. And that's one thing I know down here in Vegas, like we're trying to get that sense of community in terms of the basketball community. But a lot of kids here, over the last, I mean, 15, 20 years, most kids that are from here, they don't stay and go to school here at UNLV. And so I know that's one thing. They're trying to keep some more of their local talent, like Coach Romar did up at UW. They were keeping all the top kids in Seattle and Tacoma. They were going to UW. Here, kids are leaving. We've had kids go to Kansas from here. You've had kids go to Arizona. You've got kids that – we had a kid actually just a couple years ago went up to Washington. And so, I mean, you've got kids that are leaving Vegas. And so I know a former Rebel and a former NBA player, Marcus Banks, who's from Vegas. He was a lottery pick out of UNLV to go to play for the Celtics and for a couple of the NBA teams a few years ago. He's trying to do a better job with like the grassroots movement in terms of helping those kids get those opportunities. Because you look around the country and the areas that are producing teams and individuals that are successful are the ones that are kind of, they're nurturing, you know what I mean, their youth. And nurturing those kids to give them those opportunities, like Isaiah does, like Jamal does, even receiver Will Conroy is a great dude in the community up there that has always given back. Spencer Hawes. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And I think that's why there's so much success and kids seeing so many opportunities just from what a basketball can bring you. And that's something that we're trying to build down here in Vegas. Even though I'm not from here, like I said, I've been here for, man, 15, the last 17 years. I think this is home for me now. So I really want to see the kids from here prosper like they've done back home in Washington.
Definitely, man. So going back to like when you chose UNLV, like kind of what was that process like for you? Like how did you end up down there playing hoop?
Man, so I mean, it's the craziest long story. So I was under recruited coming out of high school. Obviously I had a lot of success in high school. What we did in the SPSL in terms of from that standpoint, we never played at Tacoma Dome. We never made it to state, but had a lot of success individually and as a team, I think just in terms of like regionally in the districts and stuff like that. But I always played AAU with teams out of Seattle. But I was lightly recruited. I mean, I had some cool schools that were looking at me, like Big West schools, some Big Sky schools, some WAC schools. But most coaches, and what I was told is most coaches were like, oh, your brother's Jason Terry, you're going to be fine. Somebody's going to pick you up. And so like from that standpoint was kind of like an afterthought because people thought, oh, because he's Jet's brother, everything's going to be fine. No need to recruit him. And it was the exact opposite. I feel like because I was Jet's brother, I needed to prove myself even more, but people didn't look at me because of that relationship. And so coming out of high school, coming out of high school in 2004, I had no scholarship offers or opportunities, not at the junior college level, not at Division I, Division II, or Division III. And to me, it blew my mind. I was like, I know I'm a much better player than this.
Yeah, for sure.
All the success that I had on the court. And so I kind of took it personal because I knew like I knew individually I was too good in my eyes to go to junior college. And I didn't need to go that route because I didn't have terrible grades. I thought I could come in and play right away and contribute, even if it was low minutes or redshirting. And I always wanted to prove it to myself to play Division I. I mean, that was my dream, right? And so what I did, I took my recruiting in my own hands. I literally had to make VHS highlight tapes. So this is way back, right? VHS highlight tapes. I was in video production class at school. Would have to get the game film from Coach Bemis and then put it on the computer and then go get it put onto a VHS. And we're like mailing out VHS tapes, mailing out college applications, applying to schools. I didn't get into many schools. I didn't get into University of Arizona. Didn't get into UW or any other Pac-12 school. But funny enough, the school that I did get into academically was UNLV. And back then, like UNLV was always on ESPN on Big Monday. And so like Sean Marion, be able to watch those guys play. Like I said, Marcus Banks, like these guys. And UNLV was cool because it wasn't too far removed from Larry Johnson and those guys, right? And so I was like, this is awesome. And then, I mean, coincidentally enough, Jason's former coach with the Atlanta Hawks was Lon Kruger, who then when he got fired from the Hawks, he went to the Knicks and was the assistant coach there. And then he got hired as the head coach the spring of my senior year at UNLV. And so there was a connection there. And so I was like, oh man, we got to see what's up. So reached out to him. Obviously they were crazy busy recruiting guys. I went and played in an AAU tournament my spring of my senior year just to get more exposure, get in front of coaches because I was unsigned. And they came and saw me. And then later in that spring, they said, come down for an unofficial visit. So me and my dad, we paid for it. We had to come down on our own. They didn't get no accommodations. Like truly, we had to pay, come out of pocket to go on a visit, and came down here and they said, you know what? We know you. You're a good kid. We can't believe you don't have a spot right now, but we don't have any scholarships. So I'm like, oh my, come on, man. But they said, but we would like to have you, and we can't promise you anything, but we have a spot to offer you if you want to walk on. Cool. And like instantly, I was like, yes, because they were the only ones that were willing to give me an opportunity. And so from that standpoint, man, I'm forever indebted to Coach Kruger, who he just retired from Oklahoma, where he led the Sooners for 10 years, Hall of Fame coach. And I was privileged enough to come to UNLV, and I got a scholarship after my first semester as a freshman. And then after that freshman year, I got a scholarship for the next 3 years. So I only had to pay for one semester of school. And so I proved to myself, like, I knew I could play at this level, and went on to get all conference Mountain West, all conference tournament team, won back-to-back Mountain West Conference championships, played in two NCAA tournaments, played in a Sweet 16. And I say those things like not to brag, but like just to, for me, not just because someone doesn't give you the opportunity or people don't think you're good enough, like always believe in yourself, right? Like that's the story. Sure. Like, and because if I wouldn't have did it, if I wouldn't have put out those VHS tapes, if I wouldn't apply to schools, who knows what would have happened. But for me to take those steps and put myself out there, be vulnerable. I mean, now it's like I'm still here in Vegas 15 years later and loving life and still associated to a school that I love because it's the only school that gave me an opportunity.
Yeah, man, that's so dope, man. And I'm baffled. I was baffled back then when you didn't have any D1 scholarships. It's like, what the fuck? Like, excuse my language, but it's just like, what the hell? It doesn't even make sense. That's like, it made zero sense to me, you know? So, but it was funny because me and Mike Andrews, actually, I remember he came down to visit me in New Mexico, man. And it was during the tournament and you were playing and we were joking around because I was like, damn, where'd this defense come from, Curtis, man? You're playing a hella good D all of a sudden. And I was like, shit. Like, dude, you were like a defensive master at UNLV. I was like, shit, man, you were locking people up.
Man,
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, Coach Kruger, man, if you weren't going to play defense, it was about team first. But then everybody knows, like, in high school, playing for Coach Bemis, I mean, what we joke about, we call them, like, Bemis rules. Like, there was some people that had the ultimate green light. I know, like, Carlton Weatherby was one of them, Matt Bogrand. I definitely had a green light. Isaiah Thomas had the green light. Like, Bemis let us shoot. But, no, man, I had a well-rounded game. Bemis didn't make us play defense, so who played defense?
I was gonna say your offense probably outshined it. Is why, you know, I mean, you were playing in high school and whatnot, so that makes total sense, man. So you were at UNLV. You obviously have been there for 15 years, and now you're the is it play by play or color commentary for UNLV Radio Men's Hoops?
I do the color commentary for the UNLV Radio broadcast, and our games are aired on ESPN Radio. So I just finished my second season doing that. I'd majored in journalism and media studies here at UNLV, so kind of my focus was eventually to get into the media, the broadcasting of some sorts. And this situation came up 2 years ago, unfortunately, because the guy that was doing it had a stroke. Another former player, he played for Coach Tark back in the 70s. And so he had a stroke like a week and a half before the season started. And so I was slated to do like 15 games for the in-house streaming broadcast, do the color commentary. But when that happened, they were like, can you step in and do the radio? And I was like, all right. They're like, it's a little bit more of a commitment because you got to travel with the team on every game. You got to do every home game. So you're doing 30 games instead of like 12 or 15 now. They're like, you get paid more. So I was like, oh. Well, okay, cool. But I would I went to all the games anyways, and so now the fact they say just you still come to the games, now you got to just talk about them on the radio as opposed to talk about them in the stands. I was excited to do it, and I fell in love with doing it, and so I'm appreciative of the opportunity because now it keeps me connected to the program, keeps me around the guys, and also allows me to give back to the community that has afforded me so many opportunities itself.
That's cool. Who's the guy that does the play by play?
John Sandler. And so my broadcast partner, John Sandler, he's a Stanford grad, way back though, like way, way back. But he's been calling UNLV games for, I want to say, 17 seasons. So I think his first season was my freshman year coming into college. And so it's funny now because like we've known each other for 17 years, but like the relationship has changed. Right. And obviously like I used to sit on the plane when I was playing, I used to sit on the back of the plane, with him and the other color commentator was a former player, Glenn Gondrzich, and with the athletic trainer and the strength coach. Like those are the guys I hung out with, like not cause I was always hurt, but because they were cool. And I hung out in the training room. And I tried to spend a lot of time in the weight room after coming out of high school because I didn't lift in high school. But I got to know them. And then now on the flip side, these 17 years, 15 years later, when I first started calling the games, now like our friendship is it's even different. And now we go golf sometimes together up at the country club. And like the fact that we have that rapport and that connection from years back, our flow and our just dynamic and connection on the radio calls, it's just like lightning. It's just like snapping your fingers because we're familiar with each other. And his whole time here, I was playing or I was on the coaching staff or now calling the games. And so we just go back and forth. We can relay all the thoughts of the times in the past from when this record happened, last time that happened on the court. So it's really fun. And he's definitely helped me along. And so I foresee myself doing this for as long as they'll have me or until hopefully ESPN comes calling. I can do some games on TV.
I was gonna say, man, is that something that you think you would want to do in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always the goal, right? Like whatever you're doing in life, I think people always should look to try to better themselves, increase their opportunities. And for me, like anytime I'm in a job or in a career, like I don't want to get idle because I think when you get idle, like you start to lose your luster and your fire. And so like I'm always the guy that's, even though I've got a solid career, like I'm always like on Indeed, you know what I mean? And searching for jobs to see what's out there just to not, if anything, to educate myself. And so I definitely want to push it to TV to call games because I love calling basketball games. I love sharing my knowledge and my experience, what I see on the court, because I try to give it a different perspective You know what I mean? Then some guys that call it or guys that played a long time ago or coached a long time ago. The game is so much different now. And I just like to try to share my insight and how I see the game and try to simplify it for the average fan, because not everybody's an avid sports fan like you or I that can just watch anything and pick it up. I want to make sure those people that are just turning it on because they're at somebody's house for an event, they can follow along with the action and know what's going on.
Definitely, man. And I think it's good to start in radio because you got to describe so many different things because people are just listening to it, right? Compared to like on TV when they're seeing something.
Right. So, and that was one of the first things I was told. So Jason, my brother Jason, before he got into coaching, he did some work for TNT. And so he was on the set with TNT and Ernie and those guys in Atlanta. Yep. And he said that the one thing he was envious of me of was that I started in radio, because everybody had told him that radio is so much harder, and he didn't understand it until he did TV and then went back and did radio. And it's because people that you're broadcasting to, they can't see it, right? So they're blind.
Yeah.
All they do is hear it. And so, like, you've got to be able to describe, the play-by-play guy has to describe the action, and I've got a short window to be able to give context to what just took place or why the play happened or kind of the outcome. But on TV, and you hear it now, these guys are just shooting the shit and talking about everything but basketball because everybody can see it. And so the thing about basketball on TV, those guys get a little bit more freedom. There's obviously not as much dictation towards the action. So I love the radio portion of it from that standpoint, because you have to be very precise on your P's and Q's and very descriptive. But then I also like to have fun on our broadcast, and you can't only have so much fun because the action is so boom, boom. And if you're having too much fun not talking about the game, I mean, then the listeners get lost. So
For sure. Yeah, I feel like it'd be super difficult compared to TV. You know, you mentioned Jason, and remember Miles Simon? Obviously, you remember Miles Simon, right? Mm-hmm. Is Miles Simon still doing – I think he was on ESPN or something.
Yeah, he was. So obviously, I mean, Miles Simon, most outstanding player of the 1997 NCAA Final Four. He was doing some work for ESPN. He was coaching at Arizona for a few years. Around the time I was in college, he was on staff there for a year or two. But now he's an assistant coach with the Lakers.
Oh, okay.
And so he's been there with the Lakers. I want to say this is maybe his fourth year. I see him every year. They come down here again for the NBA Summer League. And my son is named Miles. And my wife was like, how about the name Miles? And the only person that pops into my head is Miles Simon, Final Four, Simon. And so my son had a chance to meet him a couple of years ago when they were out here for that. But no, he's still doing his thing. And obviously he's over there with LeBron and the Lakers. But yes, definitely a good dude, some of those Arizona guys. Because aside from UNLV, aside from the UW Huskies, Arizona basketball, that's my team, just because Jet went there and I grew up watching those guys.
Bro, dude, so you probably don't remember this, Kurt, but like when I came to like UP in fifth grade, man, your dad was like, hey, Derek, you want to go to the Arizona UW game? I was like, yeah, of course I do, you know, because I was like, hell yeah. Dude, I was like, I was in awe. I was like, this is the coolest shit ever. Like, you know, seeing Miles Simon, and then I figured out Jet was your brother, and I'm like, shit, this is just wild to me. I'm a fifth grader watching hoop every Saturday, you know, it's just, like, and here I am behind the bench all of a sudden. I'm like, okay, cool. You know,
right. So. The good times, though, man. It's funny because, like, so Arizona, they won the championship in 97. And so this year, the championship, this was the whatever anniversary, the 17th or, I don't know, 23rd anniversary when they won it or something. 21st anniversary, I think. And so it was in Indianapolis when they won it as well. So now it's obviously the football arena is Lucas Oil Stadium. Back then it was RCA Dome. And I remember me and my dad and my older brother Rusty, we went to Indianapolis, went to the Final Four, and got to see Jason win that national championship. And again, like for me, like fanboy moments, right? Like you just talked about, like being behind the bench. Like for me, and I talked about this the other day on the radio, I was in sixth grade, and we went to Indianapolis for this national championship game for the Final Four, and it was just amazing. Like, wow, this is big time college basketball, because I think they played Kentucky and North Carolina in the semifinals of the national championship. And the night before the national championship, I was in the room with Jet, and his roommate was Mike Bibby, right? Yep. And so back then in hotels, you had just the controller that plugged into the TV, right? And so like you couldn't bring your console. You just had to play the games that were stock loaded, you know what I mean? Way back then. And we sat in their room all night, me and those two, and played video games the whole night before they played the national championship game. And like to me, like fanboy moment. Like, so like I was like, dude, this is so cool. You know what I mean? But no, it's definitely fun times way back when, just kind of like you mentioned.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, where's your dad living nowadays?
He's in Vegas.
Okay, yeah. He is too. Okay, cool.
Yeah, so Big Kurt's in Vegas. Big Kurt is we moved him out here. Me and my older brother Russell, we moved him out here in August. So he had been in Atlanta and in Dallas for the last, heck, I don't know, 20 years or whatever, with Jason and his family out there. But with Jason and his family relocating to Tucson, because Jason's now coaching at University of Arizona, my dad was like, I'm not going to be here by myself in Dallas. And so we moved him out here, and he's out here now with us. He's loving the weather out here in Vegas. And he grew up with Jason's daughters, and so from when they were babies to older. And so now, like, selfishly, I'm glad he's here with us, because he gets to be around my kids, and they get to see him for grandpa and for G-paw, just like I had to have him around for my dad. So it's kind of circles. It's kind of coming around full circle in terms of having him around for my kids, like I had to have him around for me. So
that's dope, man. Tell him what's up for me if you could.
For sure, I will.
So I know that you are starting this new podcast, Uncommentary, right? What's that going to be about?
Man, so Uncommentary, it's kind of my spin on how I kind of view things, and the way I kind of break it down is, it's an uncommentary is a word I came up with. So it's uncommon and then Terry, and so like commentary, I put it together, I describe it as an out of the ordinary and unusual explanation of opinions and about sports events, situations in life. And so it's just kind of just quirky, my way of how I see things. People have said that I've kind of have no filter sometimes, and I'll kind of just say whatever.
That's good though. I mean, shit.
Right, I think especially
can't do it on the radio, maybe, but you can do it.
It depends on what station that you're on, right? An abnormal and unusual expression of opinions and explanations about sports events, situations in life. That's kind of how I term it. And so we'll talk about anything from current day sports events to what's going on in the real world with life. And I don't just focus on basketball. I like to focus on sports, obviously, and have some kind of connection. And so we're going to be dropping the podcast officially next week. Uncommentary.com is website, Uncommentary on Twitter, Uncommentary on Instagram. All the information is there. And so we're going to have, obviously, Isaiah is going to be a guest. My brother Jet's going to be a guest. Jamal Crawford, my cousin, who's a defensive backs coach now for the Raiders. He's been an NFL coach for 21 seasons. So we got Kaiza Kiernan, who's a UW Husky as well. She's a fitness guru in Seattle. We're going to have a couple of reality TV stars that went to UNLV, have some relations, some DJs that are big sports fans, some trainers, some health people. So we kind of hit the full circle in terms of who's who in sports, nutrition, health. But we try to have it a tie. And I like to have former athletes as well. It's going to be some fun stuff. People should check it out. It's going to be a little different. I would say it's suitable for kids. From when I'm talking, now the guests, they might fly a little bit off the hip every once in a while. But, hey, it's definitely going to be fun stuff.
Yeah. Dude, I know it's going to be legit, man. I can't wait to tune in for sure. You got this down, bro. I got to be honest. Like, I was like, shit, I was a little nervous talking to you, because I was like, Kurt does this for a living. Shit. You know, he knows what he's doing on the radio and stuff. But no, man, you're polished, bro. You're polished. I'm looking forward to it. That's cool. Now, let me ask you this. Did you record stuff prior to like launching? Because that's what I did personally. I got like 10 episodes in the bank. But now that I'm like all through them, and like yours is dropping this week, by the way. So, like, okay. You know, I'm like, but that's what I did. It kind of made the pressure of like having to like produce every week go down a little bit when I did that, but I was just curious to get your thoughts on that.
So I've obviously, over the last couple of years, I've got a lot of experience on the radio, because with what I do with ESPN Radio, calling the UNLV games, and then I do a weekly segment every Thursday on ESPN Radio here during the course of the NBA college season, through the Final Four and through the NBA Finals. And so I get a lot of experience doing that. But then during the course of the pandemic, I was like, I want to do more. Like, obviously, everybody wants to have their side hustle, right? Or kind of their grind, so you can be your own boss. And so for me, I wanted to kind of tie the two in terms of what I do with the day job and fundraising to what I do moonlighting on the radio and just kind of being the sports personality. And so I did a lot of research in terms of, you know, I mean, the proper way to drop a podcast. And people talk about you need to have at least like 3 episodes in back stock before you drop, so that way listeners are able to continue to get the content. I've got a couple in the vault. The thing is, though, now with kind of, if the longer you wait to drop those, though, some of the content gets backdated.
For sure. Yeah. No.
Now it's like you got to re-record and all that kind of stuff. But I'm also kind of a sort of a pseudo perfectionist, and so for me, like you with the platform that you use, I use a different platform. But like I had to make sure I had my I's dotted, my T's crossed in terms of with the platform, yep. with in terms with the marketing, the social, with the branding, because if I don't do that, it's going to drive me crazy, and I'd rather not do it. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. If I'm not going to half-ass it, I'm just not going to do it at all. So it's been a work in progress, but I'm excited to drop it because I just, this is what I do. Like I'm on the radio. I was on the radio yesterday for an hour up at the Cosmo for a Final Four preview show, and so this is it's fun to me though because we're just talking sports, shooting the shit, and catching up with people.
Totally, man. Totally. So do you get any butterflies, man, when you do that kind of stuff? Like kind of like before a game or anything? I'm just curious because I always get like a little – anytime I do anything like live or, you know, record something, I always get this like little feeling in my stomach. But then it goes right quick.
Yeah. So the first two games I called for UNLV on the radio, I was like, ooh, are you sure? I don't know. Like hold my hand, man. Just walk me through the steps. I'm going to follow your lead. So from that standpoint, yes. But then the more I did, I was comfortable. But in terms of recording the podcast, like the first couple episodes I recorded, I was like, am I sure? I'm ready to do it. I'm scared. I don't know. But I think, and you know, it's like the more times you do something, the more comfortable you get, the easier it gets. But then now I find myself like, I want to do it all the time. And obviously you can't record all day, every day. Some people do, which is wild to me. But it's got me kind of jonesing and itching to continue to do it more and more. But I think that's a good thing because if I didn't feel like that, I'm probably wasting my time doing it in the first place.
Definitely, man. Well, it sounds like it's going to be legit, man. I can't wait to subscribe. So just let me know. I'll be watching you on Insta for sure to make sure subscribe to it. But one last thing, man. I know that you're involved with Snapwise. Can you let us know what that's about? Is it it's fundraising for U Sports?
Yeah. So I work for a company called SnapRaise, and it's a company based in Seattle. Yeah, SnapRaise. It's a company based in Seattle, and it was started by the former Ballard High School football player, quarterback, and he also went on to play at WSU, and then he transferred to USD San Diego. Was a quarterback. And so he, like, obviously, like we did growing up, and you have to do fundraising, right? Because not everybody comes from, you know what I mean, from those affluent places.
Well, yep.
And so you got to be able to have money to travel for equipment, for whatever it is. And so we all had to grow up, like, we did fundraising, right? It was like coupon cards, it was candy bars, it was magazine subscriptions, it was all this stuff that, let's be honest, most people didn't want to buy that shit. Excuse my language, but most people don't want that stuff.
For sure.
And so now what we do is SnapRaise is a social donation platform, and so we use the power of technology because kids are always on their iPads or computers or laptops or their cell phones, and we use the power of technology to have the kids reach out to their biggest fans and supporters to ask them if they want to support and to donate without having to sell any products. And so let's be real, when you walk to the grocery store and a kid comes up, do you want to support my team, do you want to buy it? I don't want what you're selling me. I'd rather give you $20 and, like, say politely, you know, me, have a nice day.
For sure.
Because it's about convenience now, and especially with people not wanting to meet up because of COVID and protocols and trying to be safe and healthy, it's easier if you can do it online and make donations and not have to meet up to get the good or the product. And so that's what we do in terms of SnapRaise. So I work in Las Vegas in the Las Vegas network in the Las Vegas market, and we work with high school kids, high school sports teams, with club and activity groups. If it's band or choir, FBLA, DECA, if it's youth sports. I also work with nonprofit organizations. Anybody that needs help raising money, I help them raise money in a smarter, secure, more efficient way, so that way they can have the funds that they need. But I do say the one, and I tell this to people I work with, the one exception to the rule with fundraising is Girl Scout cookies. Because let's be real. Come on. You Girl Scout, there's something about them.
Yeah, there's value there, though. You know, there's value there.
Yeah, them damn cookies is the value. They're good, right?
That's what I'm saying.
You can't put them down. So that's the one product I'll come and meet you. You can bug me in the parking lot of the grocery store or whatever. I'm always down for Girl Scout cookies. So that's my biggest competition. I like to give back to the youth and to the community that I live in. And so, like, anybody back home that needs fundraising for their high school sports, for their youth clubs, go to snapraise.com. There's people that are in the market in Tacoma and Seattle. All across the country, we have reps, and we're generally there to help give back, and it's about making sure those products or those teams and those youth organizations have the funds that they need to be able to operate and give those kids the opportunities to be successful on and off the field of play and just in life in general.
Cool. Cool. Well, thanks for sharing all that, Kurt.
For sure.
Yeah, man. That's all I got, dude. Do you got anything else you want to add? Maybe let the people know where they can find you, give your Instagram link for your new pod.
Yeah, I mean, everybody can. I'm active on Twitter heavily. My personal Twitter is Curtis Terry Jr. at Curtis Terry Jr. And all the stuff I do in terms of my podcast and with the media stuff, it's at Uncommentary. So it's UncoMmentery. You can also find all the content and everything on the website at uncommentary.com. But I like to engage. I talk hoops. I try to be political, not be political. I draw that line somewhere. Yeah. But like I said, my wife says I sometimes don't have a filter. So I try to be filtered on those types of platforms just to cover my own ass. But yeah. Nah, man, I miss home, man. I know it's always fun to get back when I do. We'll definitely link up. If you come down to Vegas, holler at me, man. We'll have you over to the house.
I will.
Swim and barbecue. But definitely I'll make sure that we get some information in terms of selling some properties here. If we ever do it again, I'll need to make sure I get your expertise, man, in the real estate game.
Yeah, man, I got you for sure, Kurt. Yeah, I'm definitely hitting you up because I was telling Leanne, my wife, I was like, look, we need a trip, and right, it's probably going to be to Vegas.
Right.
That's our spot, man. We love it's Vegas, easy, man. It's just so, it's easy. It's, you know, you got pools, you got so much entertainment. It's just, it's perfect, man. That's why I love it there. Like, if somebody's like, oh, you want to go to Arizona? I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do in Arizona?
Right.
I mean, seriously. I mean, I'd rather be in Vegas, man. So.
Yeah, I mean, plus the weather's the same here as it is in Arizona, and there's just more to do. Like you said, the food, the shopping, the dining, the entertainment, the shows.
Hell yeah.
If gambling's your thing, so be it. Hey. It's not mine, because everybody knows this city was not built on winners. So anybody coming down, go ahead and help our economy, but just know you're probably not going to leave with much.
I love it, Kurt. Love it, man. All right, man. Well, thanks for joining, and I'll catch you soon.
Yes, sir, Shock. I appreciate it, man.
All right, man. Peace. All right, guys. That's a wrap. Thank you for joining and taking the time to listen to the Dacoma Podcast. If you were down with this episode, I'd be super pumped if you subscribed. Also, if inclined, please drop a review and share the pod with a friend. I'll catch you on the next one. Thanks again. Peace.